So we saw the Gemara on Chav Gimel on the base. The Gemara quotes the Machlokes Abai v'Rava from Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin by Orig Beged Lemeis, a one who's mazmin a tefillin zekel. They didn't put the tefillin in yet. So do you say Hazmana Milse Hazmana La Milsehi? And the Rif adds on. We don't have it in our Gemara that the din is always like Rava except for Yalkegam, and this is not one of the six cases of the Al-Kagam, so therefore the din is like Ravid, that we pask on Hazman Allah Milsi. And Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes this, the Muki Yosef from Sanhedrin, who quotes the Rabbeinu Acha, it's not the Rav Acha Goen, it's not the Shiltas, he quotes someone from the period of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Acha, who says that when does Ravid disagree with Habai, that's only by Tashmishe Kedusha, but by the Gufe Kedusha, if you have a piece of hide and you convert it into parchment intending to write Sefer Torah Tefillah and a mezuzah on it, and then after you'll write Sefer Torah Tefillah and a mezuzah, be the Gufik Dusha. So by the Gufik Dusha, even Rava will agree that Hazmana is Milsehi. And others said just the reverse. Other Rishonim said just Faket, that the only time Abaye disagrees with the Rava, the only time Abaye holds Hazmana is Milsehi, is only by Mishamshe Hameis, like Ori Beged Lameis, or a tefillin zekel, az b'nei b'lot zarbei. But if you're talking about the gufei kedushas, until you actually write the sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah, so that you can't say that it's mishamshe hameis or mishamshe kedusha. By mishamshin, so there is room on machlek zabai v'rava. Rava says it's only called mishamshe hameis or tashmishe kedusha after it's mishamish b'poyal mamish, after it's actually mishamish. And Abai says, no, if you designate it, it's already called mishamshin. By the Gufi Kedusha, even Abai would agree with Rava.
Isn't Abai's full Makar from Agla Rufo, which in itself is a Gufi
Kedusha? Yeah, that is a problem, yeah. I don't know. Got to learn again the Gemara there. Let's see. Yeah. So let's see. So the Gemara, we assume that we pass on like Rava, that Hazman Allah Milsi. Okay. So the Gemara starts a new discussion. That 8 lines from the bottom of Chav Gimel and Beis. Yes, Shaila, what's the din? Are you allowed to he wants to go to sleep for the night. Is he allowed to put the tefillin under his head, under his pillow that he has under his head? To put the tefillin at the other end of the bed, that for sure is not permissible. Why? He's going to fall asleep. He's planning to go to sleep. Then he's going to move around in the bed when you're sleeping. So then he may kick the tefillin off the bed, or he may put his legs on top of the tefillin. So that's a bizarre not tefillin. So that for sure you're not allowed to do. But the shayla is, tachas merashoy sav mai, is he allowed to put it under his pillow? Amalei hacha meshmol, so yes, the shayla of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was an Amor who learned by both Rab and Shmuel. Sometimes he quotes Rab, sometimes he quotes Shmuel. Hachi ha-meshmuel, he quotes the name of Shmuel. Mutter, it's mutter to put it under your pillow. I feel it ish deima, even if he plans to have tashmish with his wife, it's still permissible. Feg Markasha, how can Shmuel say that? But there's a brisa that contradicts him. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, loyan hecharem tefillin tachas margaloisav. Now let him leave the tefillin at the other end of the bed. Before you get to this Gemara, let's say, I'm not going to sleep. I just want to sit down on a bench where there's a pair of tefillin. Is that permissible? So from the Gemara, it sounds like it's mutter. The Gemara in the third parak of Ma'ikotna has a machlokes amaroyim. Is it permissible to sit on a bench that has a Sefer Torah munach olav? So there we paskin that you're not allowed to sit if it has a Sefer Torah munach olav. So what do you do if there's no other place to sit? So the Rambam and the Ravid both say, if you make some, if you put, let's say, put a box on the bench, there's a bench in the shul, there's a couch in the house, and the Sefer Torah is sitting on the couch, so he can't sit on the rest of the couch. The cover that's required of the Sefer Torah is more than the cover that's required for Beret Film. So halacha l'maaseh, we assume you're not allowed to sit. Also leishav al-keb al-gabi mito, she-sefer Torah munach aleho. If you have a tefillin munach on the mito, then it is muto. I can sit on the bench even though there's a pair of tefillin there. I shouldn't sleep. I shouldn't sleep on the couch because I may kick it with my feet and I put it under my head. That's a shaila. Is that permissible or not? But to sit when you're awake, that is permissible if there's tefillin. But if you have a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to. Unless you have a mokum mugbaf, you put a cotton and then you put the Sefer Torah on top of the cotton. How high does the makam mugba have to be? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether one tefach or three tefachim. So I think the Rambam writes one tefach in Hilchos Sefer Torah. The Ravid is masig, but it's only one tefach, so it should be lovud. So it should be considered as if lovud is a din, and mechitza is the Gemara has. Whenever there's a gap in the mechitza of less than three tefachim, I say it's kelovud is considered kisasim dami. So lovud. Love it means that anything that's within three tochim is considered as if it's on the other thing, really. That's how far you go with love it. To say, if Torah is on top of an elevation, that's a tefach, there's a cut, that's a tefach tall. It's between one tefach and three tochim. So within love it, you say it's considered as if the Sefer Torah is on the couch and you can't sit there. That's a machleg Zarishanim. So some Rishanim say, no, love it is only by mechitzis. The Gemara says in the beginning of Erevin, the Gemara beginning of Sukkah, the rest of the Shiva is learning Sukkah. Gemara says, Shiva and Chatzitza and Mechitzin, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara says, what aspect of Mechitza is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Is it that a Mechitza has to be 10 Tvachim tall? So the Gemara said, that's a Machloika Samaroim. Some Amaroim claim we could figure that out on our own, that a Mechitza has to be 10 Tvachim tall. Why? Because what's the definition of Rishus HaYachid? For Shabbos purposes, a mokum. A mokum is dalal al dalat vachim. A mokum that's mukav. The mechitza, there's no din that the mechitza needs 10 vachim. A mokum is three-dimensional. A mokum, you make a mistake, three. A mokum is not two-dimensional, dalat vachim, al dalat vachim. Dalat ramas, dalat ramas, that's a different din. That's, the Gemara has the beginning of Sukkah. In order to be called a base dira, dira skeva, you have to have dalat ramas, al dalat ramas. So you only chayim and mezuzah. Rabbi Chayv and Makkah, it says Kisiv the Bayis Chodesh Shasis a Makkah leGagecho. So you have to have a Makkah on top if it's a Bayis. It's only called a Beis Dira if it has a minimum of Dalad Amos al Dalad Amos in it. Rabbi Chayv and Mezuzah if it has Dalad and Dalad Amos. A Sukkah is a Dira Saroi. Half of the time hold that a Sukkah has to be also Dira Skeva. So they hold that a Sukkah has to be Dalad Amos Dalad Amos. We don't pasken like that. We pasken either Vav Tvachem al Vav Tvachem al Zayin Tvachem al Zayin Tvachem. Because we pass from the sukkah as a diras haroi, not a diras keva. But dalet tvachim, that's for the sheer mokum. So Rishu Sayochid, for purposes of Shabbos, doesn't have to be dalet ramas, dalet has to be dalet tvachim. So dalet tvachim is not correct. That's not the definition of a mokum. A mokum is not two-dimensional. It's three-dimensional. Dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim begova yud tvachim. That flat location on the ground, plus the avir of the first 10 tefachim is the mokum, is three-dimensional. And a mokum to be considered a Rishus HaYachid has to be mukav. So the 10 tefachim is not really so much a shir in the mechitza, 10 tefachim is a shir in the avir. L'may nafkamina, we're making a pilpul, so the nafkamina Rav Chaim has in his sefer on the Gemara, the end of Erevin. What if you make a mechitza for Shabbos purposes to be allowed to carry, you're using Avodah Zarah, or you're using Famira Nidachas, wood from Menera Nidachas. So if you have a Lula from Menera Nidachas, or you have an Esrog from Menera Nidachas, so since it's Amir Litzreifo, so the Halacha says, Kitoisi Mechdeshur. Kitoisi Mechdes means like, V'chiteis Nachasha Nachoshes, to chop something up into tiny little particles. So Kitoisi Mechdeshur means, even though the Lula of minimum size of the Lula has to be at least 4 Tvachim tall. And the Hadassim and the Arabis has to be at least 3 Tvachim tall. And the Esrig has a Machlag Satanayim. What's the minimum size? Whatever the minimum size, if the thing is Aymed Litzreifa because it's Avodah Zarah, because it's Shilev and Idacha, so we declare Kitos Mechdushur doesn't have the Shir. So what if you have a Mechitza for Shabbos purposes that's 10 Tvachim tall, but the Mechitza is made from wood, from the Nerani Idacha, so from Avodah Zarah? So you should really say Kitos Mechdushur. So the Gemara says it's not a problem. That a mechitza shel asheretz, at the end of the Erevin, daf pei, mechitza shel asheretz is acceptable. Rav Chaim explains why, because the 10 tefachim is not a shir nechefetz of the mechitza. The mokum, the definition of a mokum is dalal adal tefachim begova yud tefachim the avir. The avir is 10 tefachim tall. You can't say kitos mechdushur on the avir. You're going to say kitos mechdushur on the wood of the mechitza. So I consider it as if it's chopped up into tiny particles. Kitos Mechdushur does mean that it's considered Kemisha Eino. Means it's considered as if it's chopped up, so it's not considered one unit. It doesn't have to be one unit. Let's say I have sand that's piled up, tiny granules of sin, tiny particles of sin. You have sugar, you have salt. And it's piled up in a shape that it's a mechitza. So it's also good mechitza. A lulav has to be one unit. If you chop up the lulav into tiny pieces and then you glue it together, that's not acceptable. It has to be one lulav that's four tefachim tall. Esrog has to be one unit of an esrog. If it's chopped up into tiny particles and it's sitting on top of each other, has the shape of an esrog, that's not acceptable. But a mechitza that's chopped up in tiny particles, that's not a problem. It's not a locha that the mechitza, the chepts of the mechitza needs 10 tefachim. The makam has to be a makam mukav. And a makam is dalal dalat tefachim. The gova, you tefachim, that's the shear of the makam. It's three-dimensional. It could be that a doifim for sukkah would be different. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. How come in Hilchus Shabbos we call it a mechitza, and Hilchus Sukkah we call it defanis? You need shtei defanis kelchosim ashlishis afilu tefach, one time holds gimel kelchosim, or revis afilu tefach. How come we call it defanis and Hilchus Shabbos we call it mechitzas? So it could be there's such a day in Tosfos that spells out explicitly also the beginning of Shabbos and the beginning of Sukkah. Tosfos has one opinion that there's a major difference, that in Hilchus Sukkah you need a cheftz of a doifen. So it could be that if for the purposes of Sukkah, if you have Isuri Hanor that's Amid L'Sreifa, let's say you have defanis of the Sukkah from Asherah, from Erni Dachs, could be that by Sukkah would be no good. Hilchus Shabbos would be good, and Hilchus Sukkah would be no good. Because by Sukkah we call it defanis in Ida Cheftz of a doifen. And by Shabbos we call it Mechitzas. Mechitzas means there's a Hafsukkah. The Mokum is Mukav. The Mokum is Mukav. So getting back again. So the Gemara says, there is one opinion that we can figure that out on our own, that Yud Tfachim will never be able to figure out that a Mechitza needs 10 Tfachim tall. If there were such a din, there isn't. That's what Rav Chaim says in his Sefer. At the time Rav Chaim wrote his Sefer, they hadn't yet printed the Ola Kisveyad that they had from the Rishonim. After they printed it, so they found that just like we have the Ran, or the Rabbi Yoin has a commentary on the Rif, so there are the Oris of the Rashbam on the Rif. That I think hardly any of them were printed. So the Rashbam and his Oris on the Rif, in the end of Erevin, writes this Pshat also, same as Rav Chaim writes. That by Rishu Sayochid, if the mechitzas are Kites Mechtashir, doesn't bother me, because the shear is not a shear in the chefts of the mechitza, it's a shear in the mokum. The mokum is up until 10th foot. So the Gemara says some Tanoim would be able to figure that out from the psukim, because we have a tradition, we figured it out from psukim, mi olam yorda shchina lamata me asar tfochim, mi olam moshe lamorim. Moshe Rabbeinu was on top of Har Sinai. The Gemara assumes that he was suspended in the air. Not only he was standing with his feet on the ground on top of Hasina, he was suspended in the air, but at the bottom of his feet were within the first 10 tefachim above the ground. And the Shechina yorda al Harsinai, not true, it didn't yorda al Harsinai. The Shechina never went down within the first 10 tefachim above the ground, because we can figure out from Psukim and the Chumash that the first 10 tefachim is mishtayech to the Shetach HaKarka, and above the 10 tefachim, that's a different mokum. How can you figure it out? Because the Shechina was Shoira on top of the Oren in the Mishkan, and the Oren was Amma v'chetzi koi mosoi. How much is an Amma? So that's Amma shel binyan is 6 tefachim tall. Amma shel kelim, the Oren was a kli. So Amma shel kelim is machalik zamer abudah with it, 6 tefachim by 5 tefachim. So if you should assume that Amma shel kelim, the Oren was a kli, if you should assume that Amma shel kelim is also 6 tefachim, so Amma v'chetzi koi mosa, Amma is 6, chetzi is 3, so it's 9, and then the kaporis was 1 tefach. How do you know the kaporis was a tefach thick? So the top of the kaporis, where the Shechina was shoira, was 10 tefachim above the ground, and that's why the Shechina was shoira there, the Shechina meyolam loyod the Shechina lamata, because the pasuk says, ha-shamayim, shamayim la-shem, or it's nason levneyodim. So the first 10 tefachim above the ground level, it's tarif, Mishtayach to the earth. So the Shechina would never come down so low. The Shechina was always above. So the Gemara says, according to that Tana, that's Machleg Zameir Abud in the end of Menachos. According to that, and the Gemara quotes the beginning of Sukkah. That's the first Sukkah in Sukkah. How do you know that? There has to be 10 Tvachim Tvachim. The Sukkah has to be 10 Tvachim Tvachim. The Gemara says, according to one Tana, you don't need a Halacha Moshe Messina to tell you that Mechitzas for Shabbos purposes have to be 10 Tvachim. Because the whole idea of a Mechitzah is to be Makif the Mokim. The mokum is dal al adal begova yud, but according to the other Tana, that amoshel kelim is 5 tefachim, so Amma v'chetzi kamasa is going to be 5, and 2.5 is 7.5. And then the kaparis is 1 tefah thick. The Gemara figures that out, so it's going to be 8.5. So if the Shechina was right on top, so it seems that it's only necessary to have 8.5 tefachim. So then the Gemara says, according to that Tana, you'll have to have halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That shiur and chatzitz and mechitzin needs 10 tefachim, that's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. But if you all like the other Tana, so what do you need halacha l'moshe m'sinai for mechitzin? The Gemara says, no, you still need it. You need it for good, lovud, and doif and akuma. There are other aspects of mechitzis that halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So the Tosis points out, the Gemara says, good, lovud, doif and akuma, these are all dinim and mechitzin. So Tosis argues with Rashi. Rashi b'kama m'kama, Rashi in Bava Kama, Rashi in other places holds, in order to be kind of a hakbor, I give you something, you want to be kind of a hakbor, you have to pick it up a minimum of 3 tvachim above the table, if it's on the table. If it's on the floor, you have to pick it up a minimum of 3 tvachim above the floor. If we're both standing and I give it to you, you don't have to pick it up 3 tvachim above where you're standing. Your hand is already 3 tvachim above the ground. No need for 3 tvachim. But if your hand is, you're holding it above the table or above the floor, then if you're going to pick it up less than 3 tvachim, you say lovud. So Tosfos says, lovud, when lovud, what lovud? Lovud is a din of mechitzas. What does it have to do over here? If you have the mechitzas, there's a gap in the mechitza less than gimel tvachim, it's considered kisasum. Or if the mechitzas are not touching each other in the corner, whatever is between 3 tvachim is kelovud, that's a din of hilchas mechitzas. The Gemara talks about the floor also. When you have, the Gemara talks, there's a Gemara in the end of Shabbos, if you have a raft that has logs that are tied crisscross and people can stick their feet through the holes of the log and their feet will be sticking in the river. So the Gemara, and then you have mechitzas on the side of the raft. Will the raft have the din of Rishu Sayochit, a boat? So the Gemara says you have to have mechitzas on the side that are 10 tefachim tall. And the floor has to be dalet al dalet, you have to have a floor that should be solid. So if the logs of the raft are within 3 tefachim to each other, then you say lovud, that's considered that you have a floor also. So according to the way Tosis interprets, the floor is also a mechitza. Then there's a din you say lovud on the schach. There are dinim of lovud on the schach. The schach is also called the mechitza. You shouldn't think that mechitzas are only walls that are standing like this. Well, what direction is that?
Vertical.
That's called vertical. Even the horizontal roof and the horizontal floor is also mechitza. These are mechitzas for the mokum. The mokum is dala al dala, or by the sukkah, zayin al zayin, v'govayut. So the mokum is mukum mechitza. The schach on top with the floor on the bottom, these are all mechitzas. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, halacha l'maaseh by hakbo. Tosfos says hakbo is an uptefach. They prove it more in the end of Erevin. Then when you have an erev chatzeris, let's say there are 100 shomer Shabbos live in an apartment building and they aser each other from carrying in the hallways, so 99 families have to leave a challah shlema in the home of the 100th family. So the 100th family lives there, so they don't have to put any lechem pas, and the other 99 have to put a pas shlema in the 100th apartment. It's considered as if all 100 families live in the one apartment. So there's no problem with Takonah Shleim HaMelech, that they don't ask for each other. It's considered as if everybody lives in that one apartment. So the Mishnah says, if you want, you can streamline. Who wants to hold 99 challahs in his home? And everybody has to bring a challah Shleim. So the Mishnah says, let one person, that's what we always do, if one person goes to the store, buys a box of matzahs. Box of matzahs has to have 18 grogeris, maximum of 18 grogeris. Even if you have to have a grogeris of challah, a minimum of grogeris for each family. A grogeris is a third of a beitza. So once you have 6 kibbeitzim, usually one box of matzahs, probably going to have, you can put in 6 eggs in a box of matzah. So probably one box of matzah already has 18 grogeris, because there are 3 grogeris to a beitza. So if you have one box of matzah, so the chumer, some people have 2 boxes of matzahs, right? So if you're sure you have 18 grogeris, so even if you have 1,000 shomer Shabbos, you don't need more than that. So the Gemara says in the end of Erevin, give the box of matzahs. If I have a Gemara and I want to be kind of for you, so I can't pick it up and say, I have a mind zochel that I'm shlevifonov. It has to first leave my reshus. I can give it to someone else who'll pick it up and be kind of for you. But I can't pick it up myself. So when I give it to someone else, so the Gemara says, magbia tefach. He has to pick it up the tefach. So Tosfos says, you see, beferish, that you don't have to pick it up 3 tefachim. What does Rashi say? You have to pick it up 3 tefachim. because within three tochum is lobet is considered if you never picked it up. So Tosfos time is lobet is only amechitzas, it does not considered whatever is within three tochum is considered as if it's sitting somewhere else. There is no such thing. That's what Tosfos time is. Yeah, what does Rashi do with that gemara? The gemara says, if you pick it up one tefach, so Rashi could either say, Tosfos says, either we're mekel by Rubi Chatzeres, that is enough, since the whole need for Rubi Chatzeres is only with the Rabbanon, so you make of that king, make the kinyan with one tefach alone. Or perhaps Rashi will assume that no, the hagbah, the kinyan hagbah taka needs three tochim, even by Rubi Chatzeres. But that's a din, whenever you make an erev, you have to pick up the erev, the tefach. That's asiyas ha-erev. Let's say making an erev tafshilim. So some rishonim say you have to, erev tafshilim, there's no kinyan involved for other people. I'm making an erev tafshilim for my own family, not for someone else. If the rabbi in the community is making an erev tafshilim for all the balabatim, he has to be mishatif ownership with the others, he has to give it to someone else, they should pick it up. They become the shutvus for the other. Let's say I'm making an erev tafshilim for myself. So I don't need any kinyonim. So some goyim say, no, you got to pick it up at tefach. That's when you make an erev, you have to pick it up. That would not be din kinyan hagbo. That's asiyas ha-erev. That's how Rashi would deal with that gemara. So that's the machlokes halacha l'maisa. When you want to sit on a mitah, she say, fitor munach aleha, you have a cardboard box. How high does the cardboard box have to be? Is it sufficient if it's one tefach above the bench, or does it have to be three tefachim? Because of love. So that's a Rambam and a Ravid and a Migdalois in Hilchos Sefer Torah. How wide does it have to be? Here the Gemara talks about three tochim separate. The guy's going to go to sleep on the bed. So the Gemara says, one quotes a Braisa that the Gemara says, Mesvi. The Gemara quotes a Braisa that contradicts Shmuel. Shmuel says, even if he's going to be with his wife, even if he's going to do Tashem Shamita, he's permitted to leave the tefillin under his pillow on the bed. You shouldn't leave the tefillin tachas margalosa, but that's bizui. However, but if he's going to have tashma shamita, you're not allowed to. Unless hayamakim gavoy gimel tvachim, then it's muta. Has to be a separate makim. So he's not really having tashmish on that bed that the tefillin amunach aleim. To sit on a mitzvah, she say v'tar monach aleh is awesome. Sit on a mitzvah, say tefillin menachem aleim, that's mutter, but you're not allowed to have tashmish amita on that mitzvah. But if it's a mokum gavoya or namuch, it's a separate section over there. If it's within three tochim to the bed where he's sleeping, so we consider it as if it's lover to the bed. Sounds like Rashi, but I'm not talking about mechitza over here. So sounds like Rashi. That you even apply Gimel Tvachim like that Rishon, like the Ravid, that you apply the Shir Gimel Tvachim to the Sefer Torah Munach al Amita. So here it's been again to the having Tashmish on the Mita that the Tefillin is on. So if there's a separate branch over there, Malkam Gavah Gimel Tvachim, Nam Gimel Tvachim, so it's separate. In Hilchos Shabbos there's a din. Let's say inside the room is a Rishu Sayachid because you have a floor and it's much more than Dala Tvachim. It's more than Dala Amis even. You have Dala Tvachim, you have Mechitzis that are 10 Tvachim tall. So the inside of the room clearly is a Rishu Sayachid. So what about the windowsill that protrudes outside? Does that also have the din of Rishu Sayachid? What if you have a shelf? Let's say you have a fire escape. There's a landing on the fire escape. So usually the fire escape has mechitzas around it, so people who are climbing on the fire escape shouldn't fall down. So usually the fire escape has much more than dala tvachim. Usually it's going to have the wall of the building, and then you're going to have the side walls. It could be that you have 10 tvachim tall mechitzas on the fire escape. But let's say you have a landing on the fire escape and you don't have mechitzas that are 10 tvachim tall. Should I say that because the landing on the fire escape is not too far off from the floor of the inside of the house, maybe the fire escape should have the status of a chore rishu sayachid, an extension of the rishu sayachid. So the Mishnais and Ervin say it depends if the landing of the fire escape is within 10 tfachim to the floor inside the building. If it's within 10 tfachim, then it's considered a hemshach. So that's within 10 tfachim. I did. Here it says gimel tfachim. Other times you say, in the Rambam says you want to sit on a mitzvah to have Torah Menucha Leah, so it's sufficient. It was one tefach elevated above. I don't know why the shurim are different. How come sometimes one tefach, sometimes three tefachim, sometimes ten tefachim? I don't know. You got to figure this out. But it's the same type of an idea. When is it considered a separate location? When is it considered an extension of this location? So they asked the kasha against Shmuel. That Shmuel says, Afilu ishtaima, even if he plans to have tashmish, it's mutter, to put the tefillin on the bed, under the pillow, on the bed that he's going to sleep. And the Bryson says, no, ishtaima, then you have to have gavar gimel tvachim or namar gimel tvachim. So the Gemara says, tiyufta de Shmuel tiyufta, ob gifret. Usually assume Amoraim can't disagree with Tanoim. Amorov, I forgot the Tanik tiyufta de Shmuel, ilchus akavosa, we paskan like Shmuel. Why? The Gemara says, my taima. Why did we pass on Shmukol and Atarinu Tvei Odev? He wants to put the tefillin. He wants to be with his wife. Okay, and he has no other place to put the tefillin. What's going to put the tefillin on the floor? It's more bekabedik to leave the tefillin on the bed. So even though he plans to have tashmish, so Tosin says you have to have kiss betoch kiss. That's a gemara later. You have to have kiss betoch kiss in order to be allowed to have tashmish amita in the room. If you put the tefillin in a different room, there's no problem. You put the tefillin in the closet. Is no problem, but if it's not it's not in the closet, it's not a different room, same room, so you have to have kiss betoch kiss, okay? But the shah is, where are you going to put the kiss betoch kiss? See, so Shmuel says, it's better to put it on the bed rather than to leave it on the floor. And Rava says, even though there's a machloikis between the Bryce and Shmuel, we paskan like Shmuel, kolon atarina tve odiv, because it's going to be more lishmiris atfilm, even though it's going to be a little bit of a bizoin. So here they raise an issue, the Rabbeinu Yoina raises an issue. What do you mean? But we just said, don't we have a klal? Amoraim don't have the right to disagree with Tanoim. So that's a Melchamas in the end of Bava Kamma. They quote in the Kovet Shiurim, the Horus written by the Talmidim, who learned by Rabbi Hanan Wasserman. They say that Rabbi Hanan Wasserman once asked the Kasha of Rab Chaim, that whenever there's Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan, Halachik Rabbi Yechanan. Whenever there's machlokes, Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara says we always paskin like, we usually paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. And Tosfos has in the beginning of Ksubis, one of the first dafim in Ksubis, that even though Rav Tanuhu Palig, Rav held that he had the status of a Tanu, he had the right to disagree with the Tanu. And Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with that. Rabbi Yechanan was a contemporary of Rav. They all learned by Rabbi Yudal Nasi at the same time. Rabbi Yechanan held that Rav is Nishken Tanuhu Palig. Rabbi Yechanan didn't. The Rab didn't have the right to disagree with Tanoim. So Rabbi Chanan asked Rabbi Chaim Akasha, if Rabbi Yechanan, so we should pass on Rabbi Yechanan, the Rab is not a Tanu Palig. And every time the Gemara says Rab Tanu Palig, we pass on like Rab. Why? But Rabbi Yechanan is clearly in disagreement with all of those. So they quote that Rabbi Chanan said, Rabbi Chaim said, so he's an Amira. An Amira also has a right to disagree with the Tana. There's no such din that an Amira can't disagree with the Tana. What, there's a cutoff point in Aloha, you can't disagree with the Tana. The Kesa Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim comments on the Rambam. Rambam starts off Hilchas Mamrim that the Bez Nogadol should be Bishalayim by the Yamudi Ha-Hairua and the Iker of Torah Shabbat Peh. They transmit the Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Bez in every generation has the right to darshan the Psukim the way they see fit. They don't have to necessarily follow the psukim of the earlier generations. We know from the Gemara that the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, they changed totally the whole system of Nisach HaYayin. The Bais Rishon they did it one way. Bais Sheni they did it totally differently. And the halacha that says in the Gemara, "Ein bez niyoch l'vata dir bez nacharem ken gadol amen b'chokh meviminyan." So the Yerushalmi says in the beginning of Shvi'is that only applies if the later Bezin wants to repeal a takana de Rabban that was made by the earlier Bezin. But if disagreeing based on how you darshan the psukim, ein lecha l'shefet shebi amecha. So the Rambam quotes all of this in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. Yiftach bedorik and Shmuel bedorik. He quotes all the Gemaras. So the Kes Mishnah is Akasha, in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, so whenever the Gemara has an Amara, says a din. And then they ask, it's against the Brice, it's against the Mishnah. So they say, Tiyufta, like over here, Tiyufta, the Shmuel, Tiyufta. So why is it a tiyufta? The Amora has a right to disagree with the Tanoim. So the Kes Mishnah answers, Zanach and Ami, they have a right to disagree. But their attitude usually was, if they can see Panim Lakan and Panim Lakan, they can see both Stodim, and then they come to the realization that none of the Tanoim agreed with them, all the Tanoim held Faket, that then they're going to give in to all the Tanoim. They're not going to disagree. If they found there was a machloikis in the days of the Tanaim, even though the majority held against them, if they found there was a minority opinion, so then they would express their opinion. They hold like the minority opinion. They're not mukhif to follow the rut. But if they would hear, if they would come to the realization that all the Tanaim disagree with them, so then they would usually give in to the Tanaim. But strictly speaking, they have a right to disagree, even if all the Tanaim disagree. So that's what Rab Chaim said. What does it bother you if Rabbi Yechon holds that Rab is not a Tana Upali? There's no halacha that an Amora has no right to disagree with a Tana. It was an attitude that they had. If they can see Panim Lakan and Panim Lakan, they're not going to take on all the Tanaim. But if they wanted to, they could disagree. There's such a Molchamas in the end of Bava Kama. Also, he has a few cases in the Gemara. We have Amoraim disagreeing with Tanaim, and the Nutana who says like the Amora, and we paskin like the Amoraim. So that's what it says on the side of the Rabbeinu Yoina. In the back, they say over here, Rava said he thinks we should paskin like Shmuel. Shmuel disagreed with the Tana. The Gemara said to Yufta, you're right. All the Tanaim, we have no Tana who says like Shmuel. Even Ishtaima is also permitted to leave the tefillin zekel under the pillow. And still, Rabbi thinks we should pass Kanash Shmuel. You have a right to pass Kanash like an Amar against all the Tanoim.
Yes, Mishnah says that's true in theory. But in the Halacha, he says that it's the same as Chatima HaTalmud. Just like Ravina Ravashi Sofa Rava, we can't argue on Amarayim. So to Amarayim, you can't argue on Tanoim.
So Rab Chaim said they can. Rab Chaim took the Kes Mishnah one step further. And the Ramban says like that. Ramban, the Anabav Akam, the Mohammed, he says like that. There never was such a din in an Amar. What? Why can't we disagree with Amarayim? That's a Gemara in Bava Metzian Da Peivav. The Gemara says, Ravdina Ravashi Soif Hayroa. The Gemara said that someone had access to the Sifra Shalodim Arishan. The Gemara in Abu Dizar in the first parak says there was a Sifra Shalodim Arishan. It says in Bereshit, Zeh Sefer Tolda Sodom. So the Pasha Pshat is that the Bible is a book of the history of mankind. So the Gemara says it can't be that the Chumash was intended to be a history book of mankind. It's poorly written, if it was intended to be. And Muktamucha Batar, everything is out of order. And this is this, Sefer Tolda Sodom, this contains all of human history, it's not so. So the Gemara interprets, and that the Pshut Shel Mikra sounds like that. Gemara interprets it differently. Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam Arishan, Sifer Shel Adam Arishan. He showed Adam Arishan, Dor Dor V'Dorsha, Dor Dor V'Chachamav, Dor Dor V'Sofrav. He showed Adam Arishan how the history of the halacha will evolve, how things are going to develop for the Jewish people. And so the Gemara quotes little lines from the Sifra Shel Adam Arishan. So one of them is, Ravina Ravashi Soif Hayroa. That Al Pidin, that's the end of a tkufa. What's the significance? No one's paskin again ishala. Hayroa means to paskin, so no one's paskin again ishala. The answer is no. Until the days of Rabbeinu Ravashi, they still used to transmit Torah Shebaal Peh, Baal Peh. Even though Rabbi Yonasi edited the Mishnayos, they were still reciting the Mishnayos, Baal Peh. And most history books assume, and most Achrayim assume, that they didn't begin to learn Mishnayos, Mitoch HaKsav, till the days of Rabbeinu Ravashi. And then they were Misarah Talmud Bavli, but it wasn't written down until centuries later in the days of the Goyim. So since in the days of Rabin Rav Ashe, they started to transmit Mishnayos Mitoch HaKsav, instead of everybody saying it Baal Peh, so Al Pidin, the status of Chachmei HaMasora, for those Amoraim who came after Rabin Rav Ashe, was a lower level from those who preceded Rabin Rav Ashe. So from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till the days of Rabin Rav Ashe, Al Pidin, everybody has the same status. The Amoraim respected the Tanoim very much, and their attitude was, their policy was, if all the Tanaim say one way, then we can see either this way or that way, and we think it's more correct the other way, but if you see all the Tanaim say that, so we're going to give in, we're not going to disagree with the Tanaim. If they were fully convinced that it's wrong, so they have a right to disagree, and they would disagree. That's what the Ramban adds on.
Didn't we quote earlier this year the Chazon Ish that said Shnei Alafei Torah, and then you couldn't argue anymore, and we said
the Chazon Ish said Shnei Alafei Torah, that was approximately around a few years, 20 years after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died. So the Chazon Ish thinks that there's a cut-off point in formulating policies of learning to introduce a new concept that didn't exist before. So that was only in the days of the Shnei Alafei Torah. After the Shnei Alafei Torah, you can't introduce any new concepts. But still, they were still paskin and shat. They were still disagreeing with Tanoim. They were working with the same Midrash HaTorah and Rashi Spam, the same ideas, and they were negotiating and they were disagreeing with Tanoim. They were still disagreeing with Tanoim. Yeah. So that's what they have the comment on the side. Rav is paskening like Shmuel against the Tana. Amoraim have a right. In real case here, he says kolan natarim and feyod. He thinks that it's preferable to be mzalzal a little bit to have tashmish on the same bed with the tefillin amunochim, rather than to put the tefillin on the floor. That'll be a bigger design. So he says it's better to have the tefillin and the tefillin zekel on the same bed. Kolan natarim and feyod. That's more important than the bizoyin. Not putting the tefillin on the floor. Then the Gemara said, where exactly did they put it? Tachas merashay. So, eich manach lu. Am Rabbi Yom bebeikar lekesel shlo keneged rosh. You don't lean your head directly on top of the tefillin. So, okay, you have it on the side, under the pillow. Treg the Gemara kasha, I have a hotan rap nichem bekova. Kova the tefillin zekel. Rashi says in the kiss. Tachas merashay. So, sounds like tachas merashay sof under your head. Moshe says, "No, the mafik lula Moshe the koyvel abar. No, you have it sticking out a little bit." Sure. Bakapora, or the other gear says a different amar. Okay, somebody Bakapora was a talmid of Rabbi Yudan Nasi. Rabbi Papa was later. So somebody or another tzir luhu bikilsa. He wrapped it up. Bikilsa is probably they used to have curtains on the side of the beds. 12 curtains above. I think that's the kilos chasanim. That's a kilo. So he used to wrap up. He didn't have a tefillin zekel, I guess. So tzar lehu bikilsa omapik lemashe en lebar. And also he had it on the bed and the kesher. Rashi explains the lumpy part of the tefillin that's you can feel it from the outside of the tefillin zekel or wrapped up in the curtain. So that would be on the side. It wouldn't be under his head. Sheish Bei David also Malchum Ashashifa. Ashashifa is a little table. A little table in the bedroom. Uparisudri Lavai. He covered it over. Yet he says you have to have kiss betoch kiss to be matat tashmish amita. Okay. If you have another table, it's better. Why leave the tefillin on the bed if you can leave it on the table? We just don't want to put the tefillin on the floor.
Does Sparim Shalanu have a din of tefillin or a din of Sefer Torah?
The Achreinim HaMachmer, that printed Tzvarim, have the status like a Sefer Torah. So you shouldn't, if it's possible, you shouldn't, unless Mokam Beis HaMedrash is Dochuk Mamish, there's no room to sit. So then we allow you to sit on the same bench with the Tzvarim. But otherwise we are Machmer, the Achreinim HaMachmer, you treat Tzvarim as if there would be a Sefer Torah. More Chomer than the Tefillin, you know. Amar Rav Hamnuna Brei Rav Yosef, he was a Talmud of Rava. He says, on one occasion, Zim Nechoda Havoi Havakoyim Lekamei De Rava, and I was a Talmud, and Rava asked me, do me a favor, bring me my tefillin. So he went into his bedroom, where he used to sleep, I guess the wife was not in bed anymore, and the wife didn't make the bed in the morning. I don't know. The maid didn't come yet to make the bed. He didn't walk in when the wife was still in bed. So he said, please go to my bedroom and bring me my tefillin. Zil isolate tefillin, ashkachtinu, and I found a tefillin, ben karla kesen shlok and eger rosham. So why did he send me to bring the tefillin? V'habiyadayin, and I knew the yom tefillah habi. I know that his wife went to mikveh the night before. And we assume that leil tefilosa, the wife has a desire to be with her husband. So that's a mitzvah oino, sherek sutsum anosa lo yigra. So whenever the wife has a desire to be with the husband is b'chayiv to have tashmish with his wife. So leil tefilosa is a chayiv oino. So he was clearly with his wife. So why did he send me to bring the tefillin to him before shachris? Uli agmuran, to teach me the din. Halacha lamaisu hudiyavan. He wanted me to realize the din. Instead of saying it explicitly, so he sent me to get his tefillin. I'll realize on my own. Boimene Rav Yosef Beidu Rav Nechumya Mei Rav Yehuda. Yes, the Shaila, what's the din? They, very often in the days of the Tanoim Aram, they didn't sleep with pajamas. They just took off their clothes and they slept undressed under the blankets. So what's the din? Shnayim Sheishenim Mitach has two people sleeping under the same blanket and neither of them has any clothes on. Ma, what's the din? So if a person is not dressed, he's not allowed to say Dibrei Torah. He's not allowed to say, let's learn that from that pasuk, Liyar b'chay erbas davar, v'shom me'acharecha, by the soldiers in the army. We learn out all the dinam of erbat tzoya me'raglaim. Everything is from that pasuk. So we discussed how can you learn from the pasuk. He's not talking about davening. We discussed the first day. So the Gemara wants to know. So there's one din. If I'm not dressed, I can't say Kriyat Shema. So the guy has to say Kriyat Shema. So he's covered with a blanket. So if his whole body is under the blanket, then it's not considered that he's clothed. But if he has the body under the blanket, the head is not under the blanket. So the clothing is covering the body. So the erva is mechusa. Taisis says the kasha libay roya is a erva. The Gemara says, let's say a person is wearing a loose bathrobe. So the erva is covered, but there's nothing mapsik in between the lave and the erva. So that's a machlekes later. Is that a problem or not? So we are machmer, libay roya is a erva, does pose a problem. So you have to have a gartel, let's say. If you have a loose bathrobe, it's no good. You have to have a belt on the bathrobe. There is a tshuva in Zekana Harain. The rabbi in Pinsk, what was his name?
Wolkin.
Rabbi Wolkin, Rabbi Aaron Wolkin, has a tshuva that I think the Ger Rebbe visited Eretz Yisrael before the war, and he never saw in Europe, he never saw a Sefer Yireim. So then he maybe saw a Ksav Yad over there in Eretz Yisrael. So he saw in the Sefer Yireim that the problem of Libur HaSever is only solved if you wear a gartel touching the skin. But if you're wearing a loose bathrobe and then you have a belt on the outside, or let's say a trousers, you're not wearing underwear, tight underwear. You're wearing underwear loose, and your trousers, you only have the belt on the outside of the trousers. So the dover hamapsik between libur and the erva is not touching the skin. It's on the outside of the clothing. So the Sefer Yireim says that that's not acceptable. So the chassidim all wear a gartel on the outside because of libur haserva. So it doesn't help. So that's what the Ger Rebbe asked Rabbi Aaron Wolkin. How do the chassidim have this problem, have this practice? It's against the Sefer Yireim. So he answers, we don't pass them like the Yireim. Sure. That's the whole truth. We don't pass them like the Yireim. It's a sheet echidah. In the back of the Gemara, they quote it. Some in the back quotes it. The Yireim says like that. So that's so Tesh says, so what's over here? The guy has his head stuck out from under the blanket and the rest of the body is covered. So that's considered mechusa, the erva is mechusa. If his head would be under the blanket also, so he can't consider the blanket as clothing. But if the rest of the body is under the blanket and the head is stuck out, then I consider the blanket to be mechasa, the erva. So what's with libar as erva? So Tesh says, either he doesn't believe in it, he doesn't believe in that din, but we are machmer like that. Inami, maybe he's gonna push the blanket next to his heart, or hold his arm separating either under the blanket or above the blanket. Either he doesn't believe in the din of riba sarva, and we do, or he's solving the problem. He's doing something to solve the problem. So his erva is mechusa, and he's either not worried about libur erva, or he took care of it. But the shaila is, the other person is undressed under the blanket. So is that permissible? That's what the yes. Boy minei, may Rav Yehuda, the yes Rav Yehuda, shnayim shishen mitach, neither is wearing any clothing. Maush is a yachzapan of yikur, can they have back-to-back, and their rear ends are touching each other. That's called agavas. Their rear ends are touching each other. Is that, if the other person's erva is touching my body, I can't say a bracha, I can't say Kriyat Shema. Not only if my erva is not mechusa, if someone else's erva is touching my body, that's also a problem. So we're talking a case that the rear ends are touching each other, not the other one's erva is touching me. If someone else's erva touching me, that poses a problem. So what about the person's own erva? The beitzim are usually touching the side of the legs. So it said the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the different opinions in Acharonim. So some Acharonim say that's not a problem. That's normal. Other Acharonim say no, it is a problem. So you have to have underpants, you have to have shorts that separate between the beitzim and the legs. Otherwise the taka, his own erva, is touching. And some say it's only a problem if the gid is touching your own body. If the beitzim is touching, it's not a problem. three different opinions in the Mishnah Berurah, whether Yiron Erva doesn't pose a problem, that's natural, it's normal, or the Beitzim, your Beitzim don't pose a problem, but the Gid will pose a problem, or even the Beitzim also pose a problem. You have to be mopsik with a beggar in between your own Beitzim and your own legs. But someone else's Gid will certainly pose a problem. Shaila, how come his agobis? How come the other person's rear end doesn't pose a problem? The Gemara says, Shma min agobis, it's not called erva. Erva is in the eva ha-erva. That's the eva ha-hoilodo. The beitzim with the gid, but not the agobis. The agobis is not considered erva. The Gemara is going to come later on the Yomah. The Gemara is going to say there are two dinim of erva. There's one din of erva, the eva ha-leda itself is erva. And then there's another din, whatever part of the body is ma'ura taiva. So whatever kolam of shir ashirim is ma'ura taiva. So the Gemara says, well, it says in shir ashirim, ki kol echorev. So that's how you see that kol b'isha erva. Seir b'isha erva, also based on shir ashirim. Sarah ke'edu ha'izim. Whatever is ma'ura taiva is considered erva. So that's only, let's say there's a woman. The women are swimming, and they're all wearing swimming suits. The rest of the body is all exposed. So a woman for herself can say a bracha, even though the rest of the body is exposed. A woman in front of another woman, the other woman is her erva is covered. They're both walking in a bikini, both walking around in a bikini. So a woman for a woman, that's not erva. A woman for a man, that's moratavi by a man, that's erva. What about hakert? Let's say a man is walking in his swimming suit, and the rest of his body is exposed, and a woman may be aroused when she sees a man walking around in a swimming suit like that. So that's a question. Some Rishonim say, Kalama b'Shir Hashirim is an ervan, goes in both directions. Whatever it says in Shir Hashirim, those parts of the woman's body, which are moritaiva for the men, are erva for the men, those parts of the male body that are moritaiva by the women are considered erva for the women. The minig olam is lahokel on that, but the Rav Rishonim say that it goes in both directions. Whatever, there are two din. There's one din, eva haleda is erva, that's by definition. Even a man for a man and a woman for a woman. And then whatever part of the body is marataiva has a din of erva only for the opposite sex. So agavas is not considered erva. If you have two men in the bed and their agavas are touching each other, their rear ends are touching each other, Gemara said that doesn't pose a problem. So that's what he answered. They asked of Rabbi Yehuda, what's the din? Mao, they asked, what's the halacha? Mao, what's the din? She says, yachs upon a vehicle creation. She says, yachs upon a vehicle creation. Agavas will be touching. So he says, Amalei, hauchayam ashmol. It's mutter, even if his wife, even if the other person is his wife. One might think he's back to back with his wife. That's going to be ma'ura taiva. His back is touching his wife's back. That should be ma'ura taiva. So he says it's mutter. It sounds like Kal v'chaimer if it's not his wife. If it's another man, Kal v'chaimer that's not a problem. Even if it's his wife, it doesn't pose a problem. So Maskev by Rabbi Yosef, he has the kasha of Rabbi Yehuda, Ishta v'lam boy acher. Even his wife, other rabbi, shouldn't it be faker? Ishta kegufay, achalav kegufay. So he thought that Ishta is mutter, but acher should pose a problem if their backs are touching each other. On the first white line, sleeping in the same bed, no one's wearing any pajamas. So it says, if they're young, mutter. So it says in the Braisa, if there's bonav b'nei beso b'tzido, arizal lo yikram kein hoysa talas mapsekas. So the Gemara says b'shleim b'rab yaisa b'lo kashe ochamo. What's this theory? The first brises, two brises. The first brise on the first white line says zem machzapana b'kerv, zem machzapana. They both have back to back as mutter. Second brise said that it's not mutter. There's no way to. There's no eitz unless you have a talis mafsekas benem, so it's a stira. So the Gemara says Bishleim Rabbi Yosef, he said that it's only mutter if ishtoi imoi. If one of them is his wife, is mutter. Bishleim Rabbi Yosef like kasha hobi ishtoi hobi acher. If it's another man, another person other than his wife, then he thinks that it's also. So the first price it goes, it's another person, it's not his wife. And the second brisa goes, if it's his wife, then we're mekel, because ishtei kegufa, then we're mekel. Ela the Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, he said afilu ishtei, even if the other one is his wife. Kal v'chaim, if it's someone else, there's less hiruhurim. So what's he going to do with the first brisa? The first brisa says like Shmuel. The second brisa doesn't give that eitz. Second brisa says you have to have a talis mapsekas. Why do you need a talis mapsekas? Isn't Shmuel contradicted by the second brisa? So Amar Lach Shmuel, so Shmuel says, and according to Rav Yosef, everything is fine. Well, Rav Yosef minichai, but Tanya Yoshim Meita, he's sleeping in Ben, Ubnei Besa Meita. Bnei Besa means his wife, Poshim Pshat. Tosis says, they never heard of such a thing in Gan Shas, that Bnei Besa means a wife. In common usage today, you always say Bnei Besa. You get a wedding invitation. It says, Ploine Bnei Besa invite you to come to the wedding. Today the attitude is that it's not nice to refer to your wife by her first name. They say the husband's wife, Ubnei Beso. Mishum Tznias. Years ago they used to write the wife's first name. Yeah, Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed it out that Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik sent out invitations, Rabbi Elie Prusin had sent out invitations to his parents' weddings. So they said, Chaim Velivsha Soloveitchik, I'm inviting you to come to the wedding. And the son, Moshe Soloveitchik, is marrying the daughter of Eliyahu, and what was her name? I forgot already. Gittel. So he said, years ago the practice was, they wrote the woman's first name. And our generation is such tzaddikim, so it's not their heritage to say the wife's first name. So they say, Bnei Besa. So it's a common expression. Bnei Besa means the wife. So he says, they never heard of it. That's what Rabbi Kevegan tells you, look, and Pri Chodesh discussed this. So the Poshim Shat Nigmar is like Rashi. So the Gemara says, the Brisa says beferish, you have to have a talis mapsekes, even though it says a bnei beisa. So he just said, even according to Rav Yosef, if it's the wife, it's mutter. Zemach upon the curry. So what's the answer? Ma'aslach lemeima. It's machlokes hatanaim. So I hold also it's machlokes. One Brisa contradicts me. So it's machlokes hatanaim. Then the Gemara says, on Amar, it says in the Brisa. If they're back to back, so the rear ends are touching. So then Gemara says, that's not considered erva. The front, the eva ha'hilada is erva. Agobas is not considered erva. So then the Gemara says, should I say that I have a hechocha from the Mishnah in Chala? The Mishnah says in Chala, just like when you mafis chumas and maises, you have to recite a brocha shekisham zatsanu ala prashas truma. So maybe when you mafish challah also you have to say a bracha. What exactly is the nusach habracha? That's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Whether you say alaf roshas truma, or you say alaf roshas challah, you say lahafish challah menu isur. That's a whole discussion. What is the bracha? But it's clear that the din requires if you mafish challah you have to say a bracha. So the Mishnah says Isha yoshevis v'kotza chalosa aruma. The woman is going to say a bracha. She's not dressed. So the rest of her body is not erva, but the eva ha'leida is erva, even the woman for herself. So by a man, eva ha'leida is going to be exposed if he's not dressed. A woman, if the woman is sitting, then the eva ha'leida is covered up, so there's no issue of erva. Isha yosheves v'kotza chalosa aruma, and she says the bracha like that. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. She says the bracha, then she chala lachasas panel bekarka, because when she sits down, when she's sitting on the floor, sitting on a couch or something, so the erva is mechus abalayhuish, because by a man it's going to be the erva is going to be protruding, so his erva is not going to be covered up. But by a woman, it will be covered up. The Magen Avraham discusses that there's a minig that was introduced in the days of the Rishonim, Gaonim, I don't know, that every Birchas HaMitzvah should always be recited by Amida, in a standing position. So what do you do over here? It says, yosheves v'kotza chalos haruma. So the simple teretz is, the Mishnah was written before they introduced that minik. That was a later minik. But the Magen Avraham's kasha is, how do you have the right to introduce a minik that's beferish against Mishnayos? There should be a minik shtus. If the Tanoim did it, they said a bracha in a sitting position. So the Magen Avraham suggests that hafrosh haschala is a matir. It's not a mitzvah. So it's like a Birchas Hanenin. Birchas Hanenin, you always say in a sitting position. Only Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited in a standing position. So since there really isn't any mitzvah to be mafrish chumas and maisvis, it's just that to be mafrish chal, just a mitzvah to be, let's say you have tevel and you don't plan to eat it. Let's say in America, there's such a surplus that they dump a lot of it into the ocean. They don't want everybody, they don't want all the farmers to sell all the papers that they have. Then the price is going to go down, so no one's going to make a living. So they encourage the farmers that they should dump a lot of it into the ocean to keep the price for the tvua higher. So if you don't plan it, you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have all the tevel, you don't plan to eat it, you say it's a mitzvah to be mafish, trumas and maisis, to give the truma to the kohen, and maisa rishon to the levi. You say no, it's an isa tevel, and if you want to eat the tevel, you have to be mafish. If you don't plan to eat it, you plan to throw it out in the garbage. You're going to burn it, but throw it in the ocean, so you don't have to be mafish, trumas and maisis. So this is a big discussion. There's a taz in Simon in the beginning of Yerideya, maybe Simon Aleph in Yerideya, where the Taz disagree with that Mogen Avram. Mogen Avram is in Orech Haim, I think in the Hilchos Tzitzis. It says, when you put on your tzitzis in the morning, you should say the bracha in a standing position. You always say the brichas ha-mitzvah in a standing position. So the Mogen Avram asks, what do you do with the Mishnah Yesh, Shevis Kotzach Halos Aruma? So he says, Hafrash Haschalo is not a mitzvah, it's only a matir, and it's like a brichas ha-nenin. So that you're allowed to say b'yeshiva. So there, the Mitzayan, on that Magen Avram, the Mitzayan look in the Taz and Simen Aleph and Yerideya. Taz disagrees. He thinks that there's a mitzvah to be mafresh, trumas and maisis, even if you're not interested in eating the tevel at all. It's a mitzvah. Then they quote from the Vilna Gaon, the Talmidim of the Gra quote from the Vilna Gaon, that based on Psukim and Yecheskel, he distinguished between challah on the one hand and trumas and maisis on the other hand. He thought that challah is a mitzvah and trumas and maisis is only a matir. There's a thesis in the end of Nida that we mentioned from time to time. It doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila deraisa in a matir. It only makes sense in a mitzvah. You can talk about a mitzvah bishlei musa and a mitzvah shalom bishlei musa. So you say there's a lachatchila deraisa to do the mitzvah in a more perfect way, and there's a mitzvah shalom bishlei musa. But in a matir, if it's muta b'dieva, so it's muta lachatchila. It does make sense to have a lachatchila deraisa. So in Hafrashas Truma, there is a din lachatchila. You have to be mafresh min amukav. The truma has to be nearby to the tevel. I say, this is a truma on that. But if the truma is in one room, I have bushels in two different rooms. I'm going to declare the bushels of tevua in this room should be truma on the bushels of tevel in this room. That's called shalom min amukav. So l'chatchili not allowed to do that in b'deyevet etzchal. So there's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosis in Gitna, daf lamed, whether that din amukav is a l'chatchila deraisa, l'chatchila derabbanan. Rashi holds that it's only a lechatchila midirabbanan. You may be relying, I'm going to be mafresh, trumas and maestris. Let's say I have stuff at home. I'm traveling around Eretz Yisrael, and I buy tevel, and I want to be mafresh, trumas and maestris. But if I'm going to be mafresh, I won't be able to eat everything that I bought today. I bought tevel. So I rely, I have stuff at home. I don't have a cell phone to call up to find out, is the tevel still there? So Rashi says there's a lechatchila derabbanan, you shouldn't be mafresh, lemen amukav. You may be relying on the tevel that you left at home that disappeared already. Maybe it was eaten up by the dog. Maybe it was burnt. Maybe someone was mafresh, trumas and maisis and everything, so they no longer have tevel. So Rashi says that lechatchila, not to be mafresh, men amukav, is a din derabbanan. The Tosa disagrees. Tosa says that it's a din derais, a lechatchila derais. So if you put the Tosis in together, you have a lachatchila deraisa by a frosh's truma, it means that a truma's a maisvis is a mitzvah. It's not just a matir. So it could be that those who hold that it's only a matir will hold like Rashi, that shalom and amukav is only midirabbanim. But it's an issue that some achleik is the Taz and the Magen Avraham, and they quote the Talmidim of the Gra, quote that the Vilna Gaon made a compromise between challah as opposed to truma based on psukim and yecheskel. The challah is a mitzvah, even if you're not interested in eating. And Trumas and Maisis is only a matir. What's it doing in Hilchos Shechitah? Shechitah is also a question. Can you have a lechatchila deraisa b'shechitah? So we said the other day when we were talking about Ruba Kukula, no? I think we were talking about it. So we said it's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos are in the first perek in Chulin, but the Leivari quotes it on the first daf and the second perek in Chulin, the first piece of Gemara. The Gemara said there's a din lechatchila b'shechitah yishishech kol ha-simen. Kol hakana, kol aveshah. So it's a machlik, it's Rashi and Tosfos. Is that a lechatchila deraisa or a lechatchila derabbanan? So there seems to be a machlik, is the Rambam and the Ravid in the Sefer HaMitzvah, whether Shechita is a mitzvah Shechita is only a matter. The Rambam counts Shechita as a mitzvah. Because Mishnah understood Kipshuto. The Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah to shecht if you're interested in eating fleshiks. If you're not interested in eating, then it's not a mitzvah. If you're interested in eating, then it's a mitzvah to shecht. Someone wrote a sefer in the early 1900s. The way we have the system set up, the shechet shechts in Iowa or wherever, he shechts somewhere, and then they deliver the food to me, so I'm interested in eating flesh. I don't shecht the beim, I don't shecht the chicken, someone else shecht it over there. So how am I in fulfillment of the mitzvah? So it said it's self-understood that the shechet who shechts in Iowa was appointed as a shliach by all of the customers who were going to buy the chicken or the flesh, self-understood that he's serving as the shliach for all of the people. Otherwise, there won't be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So Reb Chaim Olin thought that was a joke. So someone sent the sefer. Reb Chaim Olin was the oldest son of the Netziv. He was son of the Netziv from the first wife. And then the first wife passed away, and then he married the sister of the Torah Tmima. That's why the Torah Tmima, who learned the Balazhin, he always refers to Doidi Gisi. He says, my uncle, my brother-in-law. At first he was his uncle. The Netziv's sister married Doruch HaShulchan. So Torah Tmim was the son of Doruch HaShulchan. So whenever he quotes, he learned in Balazhin, that was his Rebbe also, he was the Rosh Hashiva. He refers to him as his uncle, and then he refers to him as Doidi Gisi, my brother-in-law. Because after the first wife of the Netziv passed away, so his Zivik Sheni was his sister's daughter. The brother, the sister of the author of the Torah Tmim. So, So Reb Chaim Olin was a half-brother of Reb Meir Bar Ilan. Reb Meir Bar Ilan was his son from the second wife. There was a big difference in age between the two. And you have the Netziv, when he corresponds to his son, Reb Chaim Olin, he writes with such derech eretz. You would think, Reb, my dear son, he writes L'chod and Rabba Goyen. It's a very strange, the way they have letters that he wrote to him. So anyway, so Reb Chaim Olin, Wayu was partially founded by Reb Meir Bar Ilan. Chaim Olin was named after Reb Chaim Olin, so we're half brothers. Chaim Olin and Wayu are half brothers. Okay. So Reb Chaim Olin disagreed with that sefer. He said he doesn't think the Rama meant like that. The Rama counted it in Minyan HaMitzvah. He doesn't think the Rama meant that it's a mitzvah. Rama also meant that it's a matir. The Parsha of Shechita is counted. Not every single mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvahs is a mitzvah that you have to do. Like one of the minyan mitzvahs says that a mace is metame. One of the minyan mitzvahs says that a dead sheretz is metame, a nevela is metame. What is a mitzvah that everyone should become tame once in his lifetime to a sheretz, to a nevela, to a mace? It's not a mitzvah to become tame. The parsha is tumas mace. The Rambam is counting parsha. He got it from the Gaonim. The Bahag is a sefer mitzvah. So the Bahag counted parsha. So the Rambam disagrees, but a little bit he was moed of a mitzvah. Rambam also didn't always count. Not everything. The 248 mitzvahs essay are not all mitzvahs that you have to do something. Say Kriya Shema, eat Nesukah, listen to Tkiyah Shofar. Not every single one of the 248 is a mitzvahs essay that you have to do something. Some of them are just counting a parsha. So when the Rambam says that you should shecht, it didn't mean that whenever you're interested in meat, it's a mitzvah you should shecht. It didn't mean that it's a mitzvah, because Mishnah understood the Rambam literally. The Rabbit asks on the Rambam, what is a mitzvah to shecht? We have Asogas Arayvet on the Sefer HaMitzvahs also. Just like you have Asogas Arayvet on the whole Mishnah Torah. You have Asogas, this is one of the 10 or 15 Asogas Arayvet on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, this is one of them. Why does he count Shechita? It's not a mitzvah. He says, maybe what the Arayvet writes, maybe what the Rambam meant was that it's a lava bo mechlala, say, it's an iser asay. If you eat meat that wasn't geshochten properly, so not only will you be in violation of L'Sechel Kol Nevela, you'll be Mevatle Esei also. It's an Iser Esei. But the Rebbe thinks that it doesn't make sense to say that it's a mitzvah. So the Kess Mishnah says, no, the Rama holds that it's a mitzvah to shecht. So Reb Chaim Olin thought that, Reb Soloveitchik also thought like that. He didn't think the Kess Mishnah was right. He thought the Rama never meant that it's a mitzvah. He meant to count the Parsha like he counts Gerushin. It's a mitzvah. Every person has to divorce his wife. There was one Chassidish Rebbe who divorced his wife and he remarried her. And he asked him, what do you divorce her? You have to fulfill every mitzvah once in your lifetime. So it's a mitzvah to divorce your wife. It's a joke. That's not a mitzvah to divorce your wife. There's a parsha, there's an institution of Gerushin. The Rambam counting the parsha of Gerushin is a mitzvah. It doesn't mean you have to do it once in your lifetime. Nachamal. So that's Magen Avraham. That's a discussion of Magen Avraham and Hilchas Tzitzis. When it says the Brach and Tzitzis should be recited by Amida, all Brichas HaMetzah should be recited by Amida. The Shaila is, what about Mikra Megillah? So when I was a little boy, I remember everybody sat for the whole Mikra Megillah, everybody sat for the Brachas also. Now, everybody, when I was a little boy, Mishnah Brurahs were not available in America. When I was growing up, when I learned in Yeshiva, there were hardly any, there was no Mishnah Brurah. And when we learned by Rav Soloveitchik, we didn't learn Mishnah Brurah. Hardly anybody had a Mishnah Brurah. We learned the Shulchan Aruch and the Be'er Agro and the Magen Avraham. Once in a while we saw a Taz. Who ever read the Machzah Shekel? So the Mishnah Brurah quotes the Machzah Shekel, that even though HaKoros HaMegillah Oymed V'Yoshev, it's permissible L'chatchil to sit for Mikra Megillah, but for the Brachas you have to stand, because the Magen Avraham said in Hilchas Tzitzis, every Brachas HaMitzvah you got to stand, except for HaFarshas Chala, HaFarshas Tumas HaMais, that you can sit. So the Mishnah Brurah quoted that Machzah HaShekel, Machzah HaShekel is a commentary on the Magen Avraham. So the Machzah HaShekel says like that, you have to stand for the Brachas, and then you can sit for the Mikra Megillah. The Balkari has to stand for Mikra Megillah, because the Rambam says, if you lay any bit tzibur, you have to stand out of cover at tzibur. But the tzibur can sit. I remember Rabbi Lichtenstein, Zechon Lebracha, he used to stand for the whole Mikra Megillah, because in the Tshuvas HaGoyim, they have that, that L'chatchil should stand for Mikra Megillah. But it's a pel, it's against the Nofen and Mishnah. What do you mean? The Goyim came up with a new chumra against the Tanoim, didn't have that chumra. I don't stand for the Mikra Megillah. Others disagree with that Machzah HaShekel. I think Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a whole essay about it. He quotes a Pnei Yeshua and Megillah. The only mitzvah you have to stand for the Brichas HaMitzvah, if there's a mitzvah that you're supposed to stand for, Asiyas HaMitzvah, so then you stand for the Bracha as well. But let's say the Sephardim who put on Shal Yad in a sitting position, so they stand to say the Bracha, they don't stand for the Bracha. If you sit for the mitzvah, you sit for the Bracha. If you have to stand for the mitzvah, you stand for the Bracha. But if you're going to sit for the Mikra Megillah, who says that you have to stand for the Machzah HaShekel came up with that, and the Mishnah Brurah quotes the Machzah HaShekel. That's up to Pesach Frank, I think, quotes the Pnei Yeshua, who disagrees with that. He thinks that he doesn't quote the Machzah HaShekel. I think he just writes on his own. Any mitzvah that you're going to fulfill a mitzvah in a sitting position, you can recite the Bracha also in a sitting position. But the whole discussion begins because of this Mishnah Chalo. Ishi HaShevis, Aruma, despite the fact she's going to say a bracha, she's going to cover up the erva. So the Gemara says, should I say, here's a raya that Agavas Eimem Mishum Erva? True, the woman has her legs together, so the erva is covered up, but the Agavas are not covered up. So you see that Agavas don't have a din of erva. So the Gemara says, maybe she's sitting in such a way that the whole agavas are covered up. So you can't really prove the point. But we assume like that. Agavas ain't a mishumer. We assume that it is correct, even though you can't really prove it from the Mishnah. Then it says in the Braisa, Mahayabanav and Basic Tanim, Mutter. Then you don't have to be Maksapanav Lakan, Poram Lakan. You don't have to have back to back. Even though they're facing me, that's not a problem. Bat kama, how, what age? So that's a machloikas. By a tinoikas, by a girl, it's ain't be also be till shol shana v'yamechot. And by a boy, ain't be also be till tesha shana v'yamechot. So one opinion is that it's not called erva if he's not roi labia. The din is when the moil is about to perform the bris milah, so he holds on to the baby's aver, and he says the bracha. How does he say a bracha? Saying a bracha, can I get up? He's holding on to the erva. So Shulchan Aruch says that it's muta, and they give two reasons. Major difference. The one reason they give is the baby is less than teisha shana ve'yamechot, ein bi'asa bi'a. So therefore, it's not called an aver shall erva. So even if it's not b'shas habris, if a baby is walking around naked, a little baby, and he's not dressed, but the boy is less than 9 years old and the girl is less than 3 years old. So it's insane, Biyasabiya. It's not called there. According to the other explanation that they give, I think they quote the both explanations from the Marika, from the Trumas Adeshin, one of the early Achrayim, late Rishonim. The other explanation they give is, no, since that's the mitzvah, you don't want to say the bracha over the erva. You want to say erva lasiyasim. So the moel says the bracha means holding on to the erva. This is an exception to the rule because this is mitzvah sabakach. So here, the din of erva doesn't apply. So then after the bris is finished, and the mo'el wants to say the bracha afterwards, someone's going to say another bracha, then there's a problem of erva, even though it's not roi labir. Even though it's not roi labir. So that's a major distinction, major difference. What's the reason why there's no issue of erva when the mo'el says the bracha, holding on to the erva? It is because mitzvasa bekachar, is because not bar tashmish. So that was the first opinion in the Gemara. If the girl is pusim bashal v'shanim emecha, and the boy is younger than teish v'shanim emecha, ein b'yasa b'yo, so then it's not called erva, so there's no problem. The second opinion is, even after that, it's not a problem, even though it certainly is b'yasa b'yo, and it certainly is an erva. Nonetheless, it's not ma'ur taifa. The erva is mechusa, because the baby is under the blanket. The erva is mechusa, and my head is out of the blanket. The only shaila is it ma'ur taifa? If they're facing me, and their erva is touching me, is that ma'ur taifa? So the second opinion of the Gemara is, it doesn't depend on biyasa biya, ain't biyasa biya. It depends whether the person is higia, are they sexually developed till the point of Shadaim Nechonim Saratzimeach? So by a girl, says, one shita was when it's Biyasa Biya, and the second shita was Tinoikis a year before Spas Mitzvah. She's already, her body's starting to develop. And the boy, Tinoik, a year before Bar Mitzvah. Then it's already considered Ma'ura Taiva. What does that shir correspond to? Edi, the shir by the boy and the girl, is not when they're Roy Labia. Roy Labia is Gimel Shanim and Teshe Shanim. Idi, by the boy and the girl, Kadesh, it should be that shir, Shadaim Lechon and Sarat Simeach, when they're sexually starting to develop. Yeah, the Gemara has later like that. The Gemara has a Chiddush. You're not allowed to say a Brocha Keneged Nochri Orum. Where is that Gemara? Here on Chof Heyam Adbeis. Ooh, about 25 lines from the top. The line ends with the words Amar Avyuda Akum. Ends with the word Akum, with a tiny letter Tesan. Akum, Orum, also Likras Kriyashma Kenegna. If there's a guy walking around undressed, you're not allowed to say Kriyashma. So the Gemara says, Mayuri Akum, Afil Yisrael Nami. Why only Anochri? Because the Jew will never walk around undressed. The Gemara says, No, Yisrael Pshita Le Dosa, Avil Akum, Itztuch Le Mao De Taim Orlach Zibu, She Pesach Hamar and Pesorm Vib. Asher Pesach Hamar and Pesorm, the Erva of Anochri is like the Erva of a Hamar. Let's say if there's an animal, a naked animal. Am I allowed to say a bracha keneged erev of an animal? So that's mutter. So I would have thought, since the pasuk in Navi and Yecheskel describes the nochrim, abeshe psar chamorim besorim, vizir masusim zir masam, is talking about having tashmish. The nochrim have tashmish. So I would have thought, kachamor bi'almahu, kamashmala dinan amikir abedichsev, erevis abim loiro. So what's the Habamin? Why would I have thought that it's not Erva Sakma, it's not Erva? So the Rabbi Natam has a famous opinion that Bia Sakma Lav Shmo Bia. That a Nochri, where's that Rabbi Natam? The Rabbi Natam in the beginning of Exodus. Yeah. What is he talking about? He's talking about Yehorg by Yavar. He says that Esther was an Eshazin, she was married to Mordechai. And Ahasuerus was living with her. So why isn't there a din of Yehorg Bal Yavar because of Eshes Ish Azinsa? So he quotes the Gemara, says that in Eshes Ish, the Rabbi Natam interprets the Gemara, doesn't really say it. The Gemara says if a Nochris is married and he says Boal Anochris Eshes Ish, so you're not Chayv Misa. Here the Jewish woman is married to a Jew. Esther Malka is married to Mordechai HaYehudi, and she's Mizana with Anochri, so it doesn't really say that in the Gemara. Rabbi Natam claims, based on what it does say in the Gemara, that Biasakum is Kibias Behema, and there's no Isser Eshes Ish Azinso. She is Asur Labaila, though, that the Rishonim had on. Rabbi Natam would agree, if the Eshes Ish Azinso was someone other than her husband, so what does Rabbi Natam say? So what's the significance of saying, she won't be Chayv Misa? If the Eshes Ish, who's married to the Jewish man, a Jewish woman married to a Jewish man, has an affair with a non-Jew. So she does become Asur al-Bailo, but she doesn't become Asur al-Abayo. Yeah, but the Baal's not Jewish. What's an afkamina? Let's say the Baal would convert. So during the lifetime of the Rabbi Natan, in the days of the Baal HaTesis, they had stories like that. During the times of the Crusades, Rabbi Natan was almost killed by the Crusaders on Shavuos. He was spared, his life was spared the last minute. So there was a woman who had an affair in order to save her life. She was an Eshesh, she had an affair with one of the Crusaders. And then the Crusader decided not to kill the Jews, and he converted, and the husband had to divorce the wife because she had an affair with someone else. And then the Crusader wanted to, the Ger wanted to marry the woman. So Rabbi Natan said that it's mutam Shulchan Aruch Paskan, the last page in Ibn Ezra. They paskan like the Rabbi Natan. They quote three different reasons why. Rabbi Natan said because Biasakam is Kabir's Behema. Biasakam is not called, says Asur ala Boil, he's not called the Boil. Other Rishonim give different reasons. Others say because Gershon is got cut in Shinola Dami. She was Asur ala Boil, but when he was Nizgayer, so the whole past history was wiped off. And others say a different reason, that Kishem Shasur ala Baal Kach Asur ala Boil means if there's no other Isur to the Boil, but if the Boil B'shaita was a non-Jew, so she can't marry him anyway. So the Isur the Boil is not Chal. So then you say, after he's going to convert, so he's no longer a non-Jew, her husband divorces her, so she's no longer an Eshesish. Then the Goy converts, so he's no longer a Goy. So now the Isur the Boil should be Chal. So the other Shem say, no, the Isur the Boil is not Chal if there was another Isur anyway. It was an Achim. So it's not clear. The Vilna Gaon quotes all the three reasons there. The Bir Agron, the last page in Ibn Ezra. Shulchan Aruch Paskan is like the Rabbi Natan. It doesn't say which reason we accept, whether the Rabbi Natan's reasoning or not. So Rabbi Natan says, Bias Hakam is Kabias Behema. Number one, it's not called an Isur, Eshes Ishes Insa. So we wouldn't say Yehorek Vayavar. It's not called Gili Arayas. Number two, she's Materis Leboil, because he's not called the Boil. But she is Asur Lebailo. So why is that? Why is she Asur Lebailo? If Bias Hakam Kabias Behema. So that's what the Yor Sameach explains. There's in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, what if a woman went to Beis Yaakov and she was absent when they taught the dinim of Lysinov? Then she goes, gets married, everything else she knows. She never heard of the dinim of Lysinov. So she gets married and she has an affair with someone and then she finds out that it's an Aveira. She knew that it was someone other than her husband. Not that she was drunk because she made a mistake. She knows it's someone other than her husband. She knows that it's not the decent thing to do, to have an affair with someone else. Even by Nochem, it's not a nice thing to do. But she never knew that she violated one of the Aseres Adibas that it says Lysinov. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Marik, that it says in the Chumash, Amol Amal B'isha, doesn't say Amol Amal B'ashem. Even though she was b'shegig as far as the Benot of Lamokim, but Amol Amal B'isha, she knows that it's not her husband, so she becomes Asur Al Bail. So that's what the Arsamech says. Apparently this Rabbi Natan holds like that Maharik. The Rabbi Natan holds that Bias Sakim Kibias Behemo. It's not called a Maisa Bia at all, and it's not called Eshesish Ezinsa. She's not in violation of the Din of Lysinov, but still she's Asur Al Bail because Amol Amal B'isha, she becomes Asur Al Bail. So that's apparently how the Rabbi Natan, quotes this pasuk, Shebsar Chamar Msar Mizir Masusim Zir Masim. That Biasakam is Kibias Behema. The Gemara says in Yavamas like that, the same pasuk. Biasakam Kibias Behema. So the Havmina would have been that since Biasakam is not called a Maisabia like the Rabbi Natan would have thought, Kechamar Bialmahu, that it's not an Aver Haroi Labia. So it shouldn't be ever. Kamash Malon, that what? So that's Kamash Malon, the whole thing is wrong. That Biasakam is called Maisa Bia. That's those who disagree with Rabbi Natan. They say this was only a fleeting havamina for one line in the Gemara. Kamash Malan, it's not true, because Bia Sakam is a Maisa Bia. That's a Baal HaTes disagree with Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan holds no, even the Maskana, you remain with that. But Kamash Malan, that it is called Dervo, even though it's not called a Maisa Bia. So that those are the two days in the Maharik or whatever, in Hilchas Milo. Why is the Moel allowed to hold on to the Aver Ha-Ervo of the baby, and he says the Bracha Keneged Ervo, isn't it usually also? So one explanation was, before the age of 9, it's not called Ervo, because it's not Roy Labia. So that was the Havamina of the Gemara. The question was that rejected Lamaskana or not? So that's Machleg Zabin and Tam and the other Rishonim, the other Baal HaTesis.
Woman is with Bias Behemoth, is she Asura Baila?
No, if a woman has Bias Behema, she does not become Asur
Al-Bail. According to the Maharik, it's still like a Merida, like we were saying. Even if he's not, if
Nah, merit is to sleep with someone other than your husband, another person. With a behemah, it's an avera, mishka behemah. But you don't say bias hakmik, bias behemah, that you chay mishum bias behemah. The Nazis considered the Jews like animals, so they said they didn't permit. That's after the war was over, so the shaila was, shvui asur lekohen, because maybe she was nensa by one of the goyim who kept held her captive. So the shaila was, they allowed all the women who were in a concentration camp, all the rabbanim at that time permitted them all to marry kohanim. Why? So one of the rabbanim, I don't know, Rav Moshe doesn't have a tshuva. I don't know, maybe he held that it was awesome. I don't know why they didn't ask him the shaila. Maybe they asked him, held it was awesome. I don't know. I never saw any tshuva by Rav Moshe. So one of the rabbanim from Switzerland wrote a tshuva, Rabbi Breisch wrote a tshuva. So he says that since the Nazis considered the Jews like animals, and if they would catch a general, catch a soldier who was sleeping with a Jewish woman, they would punish him. Because of Mishka Be'ema, they treated the Jews like animals. That's why they put them in animal trains, in animal crates. So there's no chashash of Shvui Asur Lekoyim, because it was against the law that they should be mezana with the Jewish women. But we don't say the Bias Hakam could be a spam that new violation of Mishka Be'ema. We don't go so far. Because Bias Hakam is not called Bia, according to Rabbi Natan. It's not called Bia. So that's a question. That was clearly the Havamina on Chafhemi base. Is it still true, the Maskana? Rabbi Natan holds that it's still true. What we rejected is that it can be Erva for Brocha's purposes, even though it's not Royal Bia. So that'll negate to this Shaila. If there's a little baby who's younger than 9 years old, are you allowed to say Brocha if he's undressed?
According to Rabbi Natan, there's no other way for a woman to be moredis against her husband, if it's not specifically because of bia.
Anything other than that, it would not ask the woman lebailo. She does other things which are leading up to znus, so that does not ask yisur lebailo. Only mamish, only bia. So even though ain't biasa bia, but that's a maisa ishus. It is a maisa ishus. What did the Gemara here quote? What did they quote from Shmuel over here? I forgot already. Yes, the Shal, that we pass on like this Shmuel and Amalach Shmuel. Oh, this Machlekish. Yeah. Machlekish Shmuel and Rav Yosef. Shmuel allowed, where was it again? Rav Yehuda quoted in the name of Shmuel that if the two people sleeping under the blanket, it's mut on both cases. Rabbi Yosef thought not so. So Gemara wants to know, should we pass like Shmuel, just like Rabbi before said we pass like Shmuel, even though it's against the Brisa? Maybe we should pass like Shmuel over here, even though the Shmuel is also against one of the Brisas. So he says, no, just because he passed like one Shmuel doesn't mean on this daf, everything Shmuel says we're going to pass like Shmuel. That'll be the nafkamina. That's a shayla aloch lemaisa. I don't remember what it says in Yeridayim. That'll be the nafkamina. A lot of the Russian Jews get a bris when they're older, way after the age of 9. A ger, yeah. What do you do when you have a ger? I don't know. Got to find out. So he said, we don't always pass on like Shmuel. Hechad itme, hechad leitma, leitma. Yeah. The only one I have a shayla. What if a person has the ervas mechusa, but his pants are torn? So some of the seyor, Rashi calls it the zokan hatachton. That's the loshon Gemara Sanhedrin. Zokan elyon is over here. The zokan hatachton is the hair that grows around the eva or erva. So what if some of that hair is protruding through the hole and his trousers are torn, but the eva or erva is mechusa? They say that the seyor that's protruding is dina kevah. Says, yeah, kari ala seyor seyor. The gonish megonish. That's muta. That's not a problem. Because the erva is mechusa. Okay, we better stop here. I apologize, I'm going to be out of town on Sunday, but I plan to be back on Monday. When is the last day of Shir? Monday, Tuesday. So, I'll be here Monday and Tuesday. Then I'm going to Eretz. Then I'm going to Eretz Yisrael on Tuesday night. So I won't be here at the end of the week. But I plan to be back the next week. Okay, coming back I think on Thursday of the week. That's 2 weeks from today. Come back. I don't know what time. I know in the morning and the afternoon. Okay, so we'll be in touch. But I'll be back on Monday. This coming Monday.
Don't the Rishonim reject Rabbeinu Tam because they say, oh, you say there's a Nisla Baal, so therefore there's a Nisla Baal?
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, Rabbeinu Tam was maintaining that there's even a Nisla Baal. There's not even a Nisla Baal.
I don't know, I'm trying to think of another word to say the word score.
What was the curve?
4.
Yeah.
No, but I think it was really 7, because he said it, I think he said it didn't count more questions. How's it going?
Hey,
I'm good. Great
to
see you there.
Thank you,
sir. I'm here for vacation.
See ya.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm living vacation.
Oh, right, that's true. Yeah, different kind of vacation. The compliment line.
There's a great line when you sit there.
Huh?
The great line. The great exchange.
How's everything?
Oh, Hashem. Yeah. Up there?
Okay. Are you here doing that?
I'm learning the grapes.
Oh, that's like. But you can't eat it before
then
class.
Sure.
Only after class.
Kids are already smoking cigarettes, but they're also smoking weed.
No, but like, legally, how do they do it?
They do it in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's probably even worse, honestly. But